right, if you have your Bible, go to Daniel chapter 10 tonight. Daniel chapter 10. And I've enjoyed being in the services today. It's been a blessing to be around folks praying, testifying, just enjoying the goodness of God. And we've had a lot of guests here today. Some special guests. Annie Jones' mother's here, my future daughter-in-law, and then her grandparents as well. And we appreciate them being here tonight. So many other guests. So Daniel chapter 10. When we were in Daniel the last time we were there, we talked about how that Daniel was a man greatly beloved, that God loved Daniel, and that there was a unique relationship that Daniel had with the Lord. And some of the things that Daniel did endeared him to God. And I think one of them is every time you look at Daniel, he is always going to the Lord in prayer and he's always seeking to be in God's presence. But this evening, I'm going to take a little bit different tack on this. And we've really not covered out of Daniel 9 an additional section that goes along with that. And if you look at with me, beginning down in verse number 9, the Bible says, "Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came one again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Now, when I read that section of the Bible, I understand that I am looking at something that is really a little bit beyond the world that you and I live in. In other words, it's a realm that's dealing with the spiritual side of existence and eternity. In fact, if you look back at chapter 9, look at verse number 20. There's a companion passage. I didn't preach on this when I was in Daniel 9. He says, "And while I was speaking," verse 20, Daniel 9:20, "and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yet while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in a vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding." Now, when I read that, I understand I am looking at certainly angelic creatures. I am looking at something that is not part of what I would interact with on a regular daily basis. And when I look at that, I'm not going to back away from it. In fact, I'm going to say this to all of our Bible college students. There is nothing in this Bible that you should be afraid of. Now, there's some things you may not understand, and I may not have complete understanding about what I preach tonight, but I tell you, there is nothing you should be afraid of. God gave us the whole Bible. We're to take and preach the whole Bible, and we're to believe the whole Bible, whether we get an understanding of all of it or not. Can I get an amen right there? And I just believe it. So I believe this happened just like I believe in John 4, when the waters were troubled and somebody stepped down into that water, that they were healed of their diseases. I believe that. I believe it because it's in the Bible. Now, what I'd like to say in the introduction is there's much to do in this passage about angels and things in the spirit world. And I just want to remind us that God created angels. They're created beings. He made them just like He made man. And angels are not some kind of emanation of our imagination, or they're not dead people that have come back to life. I think there was a television show that made angels out to be that. That's not what they are at all. They're created beings by God, and God created many created beings that are very, very different from what we look at on the earth. One are seraphim, and seraphim in Daniel and Isaiah chapter 6, they got six wings. They have one face, and it doesn't really tell us exactly how many eyes, but they are angelic creatures. The cherubim, we read about them in Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 10. They have four wings, four faces, and many eyes. And I promise you, you will not buy a cherubim at Cracker Barrel that has four faces, four wings, and many eyes. It just doesn't work that way. Then you have the beast that you find in Revelation chapter 4, six wings, one face. And then when you look at the angels in the Bible, angels, the Bible oftentimes compares to men. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 2, it says that we're to be careful because some have entertained angels unawares. In other words, they didn't have an idea they were an angel because they didn't have a halo and they didn't have these great big wings and they didn't have some aura about them. They looked like a person, a man. And that being said, that helps me understand a little bit that there's a world that I can't see right now. But just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not real. All right? I've never seen heaven, but I have the suspicion that most of the people in here believe that heaven's a real place whose builder and maker is God. Amen. I've never seen hell, and I'm not going to spend any time there. And we went to the streets of Columbia last night to warn people that are headed there. But though I've never seen it, I believe that hell is a real place. There are things that are outside the realm of nature that the Bible addresses. And when the Bible addresses that, I think we ought to pay attention to it. Let's just notice a couple of things by way of introduction. If you look there, the Bible says in verse 13, it names one of these angels, Michael. Michael. Michael is mentioned in verse 21. He's mentioned in verse 13. He's mentioned in chapter 12 and verse 1. He's mentioned in Revelation 12, 7. Michael is an angel, and the Bible calls him an archangel, and he is a defender. He is one that is going to fight. And because of that, he stands up in this passage. And then if you look back in chapter 9, when we looked just a moment ago in verse 21, 9:21, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Gabriel is a messenger in the Bible. Gabriel appears on more than one occasion. He appears to Zacharias. He appears to John the Baptist's dad. He appears to Mary, and he brings a message. Gabriel is the messenger. Then you have another angel mentioned in the Revelation chapter 9, and his name is Apollyon. And Apollyon is a tormenting angel. He is the king that is over the bottomless pit. And out of that pit, the Bible says, these locust creatures come out, and for 5 months they take and torment men. And it says they torment. That's during the tribulation, which, by the way, how many of you are glad that we're not going through any of the tribulation? I'm not worried about the ground opening up and locusts coming out that are, you know, satanic in their origin and tormenting me. Not at all. But Apollyon is mentioned. That's the Greek form of his name. Abaddon is the Hebrew form of his name. Now, those are the only three angels named in the Bible. Now, Lucifer's named in the Bible. But Lucifer, the Bible says, was the anointed cherub. He fits in the class of the cherubim. He is a very unusual being, and we're not studying them tonight, but God gave names to at least those three angels. You say, why those three and no more? Well, because God's plan is not for you and I to be caught up in a world that is out there that is spiritual in its nature. I'm supposed to be worried about getting the gospel to people that have flesh and blood that can trust Christ on this side of heaven, and I can worship God this side of heaven. Look, we're going to worship God when we get to heaven, but I think we ought to worship Him right now here. So there's a lot that I don't see that's out there. In fact, people talk to me. I've had people tell me they've seen angels. I disagree with them. And the reason I do is because if you saw an angel, according to Hebrews 13, it would be someone that looked like you. It would be a man. It would be somebody that you wouldn't be afraid of. Look at not only the names, but look at the appearance. Look in verse number 16. I've said this now a couple of times. Look what the Bible says. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. So he said, this angel, this angelic creature looked like one of the sons of men. Looked like a man. And you find that throughout the Bible. You find that in Genesis chapters 18 and 19. In Genesis 18, when the Lord comes to Abraham and those two angels are with him, Abraham looks at them as if they are men. When they go to Sodom and they're outside of Lot's house, those men that are Sodomites there, they said, bring the men that came into you outside of the house. And what it says, it tells us a little bit about their appearance. But not only that, look at verse number 7. This is something I also want to point out. And I, Daniel, along saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. And I just want to say tonight, listen, angels in their appearance, they're male, but they're also very strong. And what you normally hear out of the mouth of an angel is this: fear not. That is said over and over again. Paul heard that very thing, fear not, in Acts 27. The shepherds heard that in Luke chapter 2 when the angels appeared, fear not. Mary heard that when the angel appeared to give her the message, fear not. Over and over again, fear not. And what it reminds me of in the Bible about the quaking is in Matthew 28. Matthew 28. The Bible talks about those men that are keeping the tomb, those soldiers that have it sealed and they're standing watch. You know, when those angels showed up, the Bible says that they trembled. And here in verse number 7, it says that they fled to hide themselves. Well, in Matthew 28, they began to tremble, boom, and then they hit the ground. So I'd say this, most of the folks would say, well, I've seen an angel. If they didn't say fear not and you weren't scared to death out of your mind, you might not have recognized who you were talking to in the first place. That's their appearance. But what I want to touch on for just a minute is their ministry. Their ministry is something that is vitally important, and that's what we're going to focus on tonight. I want you, if you would, to underline a word that occurs three times in this passage. In verse number 10, and behold, a hand touched me. If you'd underline that in verse number 10. In verse number 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, if you'd underline that. And then in verse number 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Three times Daniel is touched by an angelic creature. And it's for a specific purpose. Angels are called ministering spirits. If you'd put a little mark in Daniel, I'd like you to go, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 1 just a moment. Hebrews chapter 1. Angels do many things in the Bible. They do carry messages. They do fight. They do deliver. But they are ministering spirits is what the Bible says. If you look there in Hebrews chapter 1, and if you look there first at verse number 7, Hebrews 1, 7. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? All right, they're ministers. Look at verse number 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Now, I don't want you to miss that. All right, the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits, that God sends them forth for that very reason. But he mentions in verse 14 that they're ministering for them who shall be heirs of salvation. That means that an angel can minister to you. Many people talk about guardian angels in Matthew chapter 18. I've had people accuse me of scaring mine half to death when I'm driving down the road. I don't know if that's true or not. All I'm saying is this, that there is certainty that in the Bible, God, those angels, He has made them to minister, to serve, to work. They don't just sit up in heaven and look at one another. They're engaged. They're active. They are doing the bidding of God. And when you come to Daniel chapter 10, they are ministering to Daniel. Go back, if you would, to Daniel chapter 10 and let's look at it for just a moment. Now, I hope that we don't go out tonight thinking about, well, how I need to start looking for angels. No, you need to be looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. But we're going to deal with what's in the passage. So in the passage, in chapter 10 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." You say, why is that? Because in verse 9, he's on his face toward the ground. This voice, this presence of what I believe to be the Lord Jesus Christ pre-incarnate has caused Daniel, a holy man, a man that has been faithful. He's on his face, and now this angel is taking and setting him up on his knees and on the palms of his hands. It's like he's trying to pick him up, but Daniel can't get up. Look at verse number 11. And the Bible says, "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright." He's trying to help Daniel stand. Daniel is on his face on the ground, and he's trying to take and help Daniel up. He's on his hands and his knees, and he's trying to help Daniel to stand. And when I begin to think about how we are ministered to and how we need to stand, can I say something tonight? Church, if every church decides that this Bible is outdated, then we need to stand on the fact that this Bible is the very Word of God. If every church decides that no more evangelism needs to be sent throughout the world, you know what we need to do? We need to be faithful to stand and say, nope, somebody needs to send and somebody needs to go. If every church decides that it doesn't matter how you live anymore, I'm talking about every church. If you go to church after church in Greenville and they decide you can wear what you want, you can say what you want, you can drink what you want. You know what I say? I say we stand on the same principles we've been standing on all the time in our existence, that we don't move from where we are. When the government opposes the Bible, hey, are you listening? When the government opposes the Bible, we're going to stand for the Bible. When the world tries to change Jesus Christ into some Jesus that unto them, we're going to stand on the fact that He was a Savior that was holy and separate from sinners and undefiled, that went to the cross of the Calvary and rose again the third day. We're going to stand right there. And I believe there's a lot of opposition that's satanic. And I'm not just saying that to say, okay, well, I'm telling you, in the passage, there is a battle going on between this prince of Persia and Michael and the prince of Greece. There is a battle going on. And I believe the devil, he wants to stop Daniel from standing. After all, Daniel had been standing for a long time there in Babylon. Hey, can I say this? I appreciate our seniors that have stood for the Lord and for truth all these years. And by God's grace, there's going to be more generations that come behind and stand in the same place. We're not going to give in. You put a mark right there in Daniel chapter 10 and go, if you would, to Ephesians 6. Now, here's what we're doing now. We're looking in the Bible at something that's outside of our normal view. We're looking outside of the physical. We're looking at the spiritual. God turns the light on in Daniel 10, and this angel is touching Daniel. He's ministering to him and trying to help him to stand. And I'll show you why that's important for us today. Look at it. Ephesians chapter 6. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities." You know, principalities are very kin to the word prince. the prince of Persia, the prince of Greece. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. You know what? I believe there's satanic pressure right now, not only in this country, but around the world. And there is a pressure to compromise, to give in, to cower in the corner. I'm going to tell you, I believe we ought to be standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand. Stand. And this angel is trying to minister to Daniel and trying to help him to stand. Because there's a world out there. Look, I'm convinced that there is certainly spirits behind some of the wickedness that we see in high places. That choices that, listen, when a government makes it legal to kill an unborn baby, that did not come from God. That's satanic. That you could have the idea that it's all right to take a little child's life that's unborn is satanic. And here's why. Because if they're born and they live 5 minutes, then it's murder. No, it's murder inside the womb and outside the womb. But that you would sanction that and defend that. You know what that is? That's satanic. There's something behind that. All the threatening things out of North Korea and China, I don't think there's so much of that that's just based on the man that's in office at the time. I think there's something behind that man and that system. The devil doesn't want the gospel into North Korea. The devil doesn't want the gospel to get into Venezuela. So he gets involved in the process. You know what I'm glad, though? I'm glad he didn't get the final say. Amen. So we have to learn to stand. And this angel is trying to help Daniel to stand. You young people, listen. You need to get some principles underneath you. And you need to get settled on what the Bible says. And regardless of what your generation does, you need to stand on that. Stand. So this angel is trying to help Daniel to stand. Oh, that God would help us to stand today. Go back, if you would, to Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. The second time that Daniel is touched by one of these angelic creatures is verse 16. Verse 15, he says, "And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength." Daniel, in verse 16, Daniel the prophet, Daniel the interpreter of dreams, Daniel the one that has been able to read the writing on the wall. In this time where he is, with all of what's going on, the Bible says that he's on his face and he's dumb and he can't speak until this angelic creature touches his lips. And when he does, "Then opened I opened my mouth and spake." This angel's trying to help him to speak. He's trying to help him to say something. He's trying to help him to open his mouth and speak words. Put a little mark right there and go, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. This is what it reminds me of. Isaiah chapter 6. The same very thing happened in Isaiah 6. Isaiah, he sees the Lord high and lifted up. King Uzziah is dead. And then he sees a vision of these angels, seraphims rather, that are flying around and saying, "Holy, holy." And if you look what the Bible says in verse number 5, "Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. My lips are dirty. My lips are filthy. My lips have wrong words in them. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Boy, the people around me, they've got the same problem I have. "For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts," a picture of Jesus, and God always helps correct the view of yourself. Verse 6, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." You know what Isaiah said? When my mouth got touched by that coal that angel had, that seraphim, I opened my mouth and somebody was asking, who's going to go? And I raised my hand and I said, Lord, here am I, send me. Hey, listen, can I tell you tonight, that same angel that we read about in Daniel 10 is trying to help the prophet to speak. And I'm telling you, I feel the weight sometimes. Sometimes I feel the weight when I come to the pulpit and I have something to address. That I wonder how that's going to be heard, and I wonder what's going to happen when it goes out over the internet, and I wonder what society's going to say about it. Or maybe sometimes I feel the pressure. If you address that particular sin or that subject in church, people are going to repel from that. They're going to repulse from that. You know what I need? I need God in heaven to help me as a Bible preacher to be faithful to what God wants me to say, regardless of what anybody has to say about it. You need the same thing at work. There is a pressure at work for you to be silent. Don't talk about Jesus at work. Don't read that Bible at work. Don't say something over your food in a way of saying thanks to the Lord for giving something to you. You know what I say? I think you ought to go ahead and speak up anyway. Speak up anyway. This angel is touching. He's ministering to Daniel and he's trying to help him, just like here in Isaiah, to be able to say what he needs to say. I know that we have had such remarkable people to go out from this church and say, Lord, I'll go speak what you want me to speak. The Edens family, the Todd family, the Truax family, the Rose family. And I could go on and on. The number of people that said, Lord, I'll go. Do you know what we need? Hey, are you listening to me? We need some younger men and younger women to say, you know, I'd be willing to go too, Lord. Because there's a real battle. There's a real fight for the souls of men. I don't think these princes of Persia and Greece want Daniel to get the information. They don't want him to open his mouth, and yet God's sending it. Go back to Daniel chapter 10, if you would. So not only are these ministering angels helping him to stand, but also helping him to speak, but the last thing I want you to look at is in verse number 18, and it's throughout the chapter as well. Verse 18, then came again and touched me one of the appearances of a man, one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. So you have here this angelic creature is strengthening Daniel. Now I want to show you why that's important. Go back to verse number 8. At the end of verse number 8, the Bible says, and I retained no strength. Look at verse 16 at the end of the verse. And I have retained no strength. Look at verse number 17. There remained no strength in me. You know, Daniel's 90. Daniel has been faithfully standing in captivity. Daniel has had an excellent spirit. Daniel has lived a blameless life. And Daniel has been standing. And he's been speaking. But maybe at this point he's weary. And certainly in this passage there's a weariness. Now maybe that weariness is for a number of reasons. Because Cyrus has said, all the Jews that want to go home and rebuild, you can go. But we're in the third year and it doesn't look like many of them have returned to take the king up on that very issued statement. And maybe he's weary in his heart. I've stayed here in Babylon all these years and I've tried to be faithful, Lord. And I'm 90 and I'm weary and I'm tired. And he's just saying, listen, I'm just ready to stop for a while. But boy, there's an angel that touches him and takes and says, I'm going to strengthen you. Verse number 18, the appearance of the man, when he touched him, it says, he strengthened me. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I need a strength that's outside my own a lot of times. There's some, hey, listen, I'm not against drinking coffee. In fact, if you are, God bless you. But there's days that coffee won't help your problem. There's days that taking and meditating and praying, the weariness is there, the heaviness is there, the burden is there. And you know what I'm glad? I'm glad I got a God in heaven that knows how to strengthen His children. In fact, let me show you that. Now, these angels are involved in that. Go if you would. Put a mark there in Daniel. Go if you would. Just a moment. Matthew chapter 4. Just got a couple more verses to look at. Turn with me now. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ has been fasting. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost has led him up into the wilderness. And there he is being tempted by the devil himself. Not demons, not devils, but the devil himself. And while he is there enduring that temptation, and I preach it this morning, I'm going to say it tonight. Hey, I'm telling you, through Christ, you can endure temptation. You can endure temptation. Matthew chapter 4, the temptation gets strong, and as it goes by, then the Bible says that it ends at a point. And the Bible says this in verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Watch now. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So here he is, he's weak. He's in the battle. He's in the fight. And now he's being strengthened by those angels. Look at it again in Matthew, or rather in Luke 22. Look at Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke 22, Jesus Christ is going to Calvary. And as he's heading to Calvary, he's going to spend some time talking to his Father. And the Bible says, while he's there in Gethsemane, I just want you to see what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse 41, and he withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Strengthening him. Daniel has an angel that is putting strength into him. He has an angel that is helping him to speak and to open his mouth. He has an angel that is helping him to stand. And when I look at the passage, the practical application for me is this. As a church, we need to stand. As a church, we need to speak up the Word of God. And as a church, we need God to put some strength in us so we don't just lay over and just say, well, we'll just hang on till the rapture. Can I say this? I do not want to just say, I'm just waiting for the rapture. I'm laying down. I'm rolling over. Hey, I want to be serving God, going forward, I want to push the gospel to the uttermost until the trumpet sounds. Now, just lay down, just wait. Watch Daniel. Go back to Daniel chapter 10 now. Daniel chapter 10. And I think what we'll do is if you'll get Daniel 10 and Revelation 12, I'll finish. Now, I know these are unusual things we read in our Bible. But we need some strength put in our hearts to stand. There's some mothers and dads that need some strength put in their hearts. There's some preachers that need some strength put into their heart. Young, look what the Bible says, and we'll finish here. The Bible says, with these angels that are trying to help him to stand and to speak and to have strength. The Bible says this in verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. So whatever angel this is that's engaged with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, I told you, I really believe that has to do with something behind the government of Persia that is demonic, devilish, has nothing to do with the actual prince. Because this prince is fighting with Michael the angel. The Bible says that the prince of Persia withstood this angel, and Michael showed up, the defender, and he came to help him. And he remained there with the kings of Persia. It looks like to me that the devil is trying to take and turn the course of events in Persia a certain direction. And Daniel's calling out to God and praying. And God says, I've heard your words and I'm going to send somebody to answer you. But the king of Persia, this devilish entity behind all of that, is trying to turn things the other way. But it looks like Michael shows up and he says, you know what? We're going to turn them back the other way. And after he does, look what it says. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Looks like he sat down for a minute and said, hey, we're just going to keep things going the other direction. And I know that may seem way out there. I'm telling you right now, God is involved in the affairs of men. Amen. And there is a battle that's going on, and it doesn't stop there. Look what it says over in verse number 20. The Bible says, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. He's going back to fight with him again. And he says, and when I'm gone forth, lo, the prince of Greece shall come. So as I'm going to fight and I'm going to take on the prince of Persia, the king of Persia, or the prince of Greece, he's going to come this way. And you've got this thing that's going on. outside of the earth's view, a battle over the souls of men, the people of Daniel. Hey, listen to me. Oh, please listen to me. I think we give our attention to things that are so vain and are just absolutely not true. I'm going to go ahead and just kick one of the sacred cows here. Look, all the Marvel Avengers and all those things about delivering the earth and Ultron being killed and the next one to step up. That's not real. I can see some 12-year-old saying, yes, it is. I got all of them on my wall. No, they ain't real. They ain't real. Fighting all the hordes of those creatures that are coming from beyond and portals being opened and all of these things moving. And boy, look at the battle that we're engaged in. We sit mesmerized when there's a real battle going on. There's a fight that's going on in the halls of power, principality, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high place. Hey, let me tell you something. I think we ought to get engaged in the fight of the good fight of faith. Amen. Get engaged. We tasted a little bit of that last night. You step out there and you got 70 people on the streets of Columbia. That's not our territory. That'd be like 70 people coming from the streets of Columbia into here that had been doing a little bit of what they do on a regular basis and sit down among us. And by the way, they could sit among us as long as they'd be quiet and let me preach to them. And that's what they want us to do. Y'all be quiet out here. And listen, there's a battle going on. Listen. And we actually saw somebody delivered yesterday. A teenage girl got saved. How many of you think that really made the devil mad? This is my block out here. You shouldn't be doing, like, preach the Bible in that church house down there. Hey, praise all you want to down there at the church house. Go ahead and sing all your hymns down there. Don't be bringing your hymns out here. And that's exactly what we did. We were singing hymns about 70 people on a street corner. Why? Because we're engaged. You say it doesn't make a difference. Ask Brother Rappin' Chuck whether or not it makes a difference. When somebody in his family heard Russian Chicago and got born again. Amen. We need to get engaged. Look at it, Revelation 12, and I'll finish. The picture of what's going on in the book of Daniel, there is a fight. There is a battle. And this dear man of God, God sending angels to help him stand. And to help him be able to speak up. And to help him have strength. Revelation 12:7. I just want you to read it so you understand. This is not something that is just isolated in Daniel 10. Verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not. You know what that means? This is what that means in Greek, Hebrew, Aramaic, and every other language. It means they didn't win. Amen. That's right. Now, they don't have any problem with you and I, but they're fighting in heaven. The Bible says they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. Watch. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Who do you think did that? I'll tell you who did that. God in heaven said, okay, that's it. That's all your time. You're done. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Well, the devil loves to accuse the brethren. He's been doing it for a long time. One day that's going to stop, my dear brother and sister. One day his reign is going to end. One day his power is going to cease. And his hands on your life is going to stop. But you know what? That's not today. So you know what we need to do? Get engaged. Are you engaged? Get engaged. There are souls of people all throughout this world. Some next to your home. some in the workplace where you are, some in cities and countries, as our brother spoke tonight, that you've never heard of. But we need to be engaged. And God, help us to stand and to speak and put strength in us so we can fight the good fight of faith. Oh, let it be so. You know, I wonder if there'd be some people that would just get on the altar tonight. This is maybe the invitation. And pray over some of those missionaries that are out in these places that are toe-to-toe with the devil tonight. Their families, they've taken to a remote region of the world, and there's a different culture and there's a different language, and the devil is pushing hard against them like he is Daniel, trying to discourage, trying to weaken, trying to get them to lay down and quit and to come back home. We get letters all the time. This family is having to return home. I wonder how many of our people just get on an altar tonight and say, oh, dear God. Dear God, help our dear brothers and sisters as they fight the good fight of faith. Preachers around the country laying their Bible down, walking out of the pulpit, not to return back again. Not to return back again. Godly men and women slipping out of the fight. Finally moving the other direction with the world. Oh, God, help us tonight. Help us to stay engaged. Help us to stay engaged. Brother Hobart, if you'll play, we'll sing a little while. Let's pray for some of these people around the world that are fighting the good fight of faith, that God would help them. Would you do that tonight?
The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. No fears alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. The raging storms may round us be, a shelter in the time of storm. We'll never leave our safe retreat, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
You know, we still have people praying. We won't let them pray. What page is that, Brother Stevens?
337 in the old church hymnal.
337 in that old church hymnal. Let's stand and sing that song on our way out tonight. Page 337, that old church hymnal. Would you stand tonight and talk about going out with a high hand, standing on that rock? Would you sing this evening? 337.
The last stanza.
Oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, a shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
All right, have one matter of business to take care of. Ladies, we'll meet in the chapel. If you'd go there just as soon as we finish, if you could, probably not going to work that way, but